The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Nine. Rushing four, ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground and still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
Alabama back on top of the college football world.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Welcome to another edition of Football to the Max. No, your speakers are not messed up. I am not Sean Garmer. I am, in fact, Randy Isbell in the host chair this morning, as we believe Sean fell asleep. He works extremely hard on the website and his job and, you know, with his kid and everything like that. So, you know, sometimes the body just goes, we're done. So we are without Sean today for the podcast, and hopefully he gets the rest he deserves. But I am not alone. Gary is with me. Gary, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm awake. So that's an important part of that.
It's a positive.
Yeah, that's very much a positive. But no, I'm doing great, man. You know, excited about what's going on in football. And, of course, you know, just got through with that big Thanksgiving feast. So I'm all in, man. I'm settled in, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing here.
You know, I just got done recording the fantasy football podcast with my buddy Mike, and I had asked him right off the bat if he had recovered from his turkey coma. Obviously, Sean has not. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, you know. You get all that put in, and of course, you know, technically, it's kind of funny. I've actually heard that if you eat a full serving of a turkey, it's like, you know, taking a sedative. So I can understand that. But man, I've enjoyed the pie more than I had the turkey. My wife made some amazing pies, so I'm pretty happy.
And if you are a video game fan, as Sean and I are. Final Fantasy 15 came out today as we record this. My game is downloading. Maybe Sean just ran off and did that, and he just didn't want to tell us. One of these things is true, and we will find out, and I'm sure Sean will be back with us on the Friday morning podcast version. But let's get right into it. We have a lot to get to as the college football season is nearing a close, and let's get right into a little non-football news, just to hit it right off the head. And the attack at Ohio State, another sickening situation there. 11 people were left injured Monday morning as an assailant was stabbing and hitting with car, and I don't know the whole details because all of this was going on while I was at work. But I just wanted to bring it up briefly just to say that, you know, as much as we love to sit here and talk about college football and football in general or all of the different podcast subjects, you know, they're secondary to a lot of other things. And it's just sickening to see people go out and just ruin people's lives over who knows what.
Exactly, you know, and they're still sorting out all the details on why this, you know, person did this. But you know, at the end of the day, it's sad that we have to be talking about those type of issues and situations. And you know, as a person that spent a lot of time on campus when I went to college, you know, this is something that you would never imagine happening, and when it does, it hits close to home. So I just hope everybody involved, you know, definitely recovers. I'm so thrilled that we haven't heard of any deaths. That's the biggest positive thing for me, and the only one we've heard of is, of course, the assailant. So
yes,
that's the positive.
So, I mean, obviously we'll get more information on that, and you can get that on all the, you know, your news sites and channels and everything there. But I just wanted to bring it up just to kind of touch the human side before we hit the football. And there's no real great segue, but the best one I can is, yes, this happened to Ohio State. And, you know, the Buckeyes were part of the huge matchup that happened Saturday morning, 9 a.m. for me, by the way. And for a guy that doesn't get off work till 3 a.m., thank you, Big Ten, for caring about your West Coast patrons. But Michigan and Ohio State was exactly what we had hoped for, a back-and-forth affair. I thought Michigan was the better team for most of this game, but they continued to shoot themselves in the foot. Yes, their fans and their coach are going to go or have gone ballistic about some of the referee decisions. You know, the one where it was fourth down and they barely got across, I thought it was, you couldn't overturn it. I mean, he was right there on the line. But a back and forth game that goes to double overtime, and, you know, don't get me started on the overtime system and how messed up that is. But Ohio State gets the victory. So, Gary, what were your big takeaways from this game?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like some of the calls in this game were kind of fishy. I really wasn't sure how I landed on this because, honestly, both teams are teams that I've been kind of, you know, not rooting for, but, you know, been excited to see where they go. And so it kind of came a little bit of internal struggle. At the end of the day, though, I do agree with you. Michigan seemed to be the better team here, and I was a little surprised they weren't able to pull it off. And for what it's worth, I wasn't terribly surprised because Ohio State seems to find a way to win at the end of the day. In every game that they've been in, even some of the close games, they've just found that way to get the victory. And this is no different here. I just look at this game as kind of saying, really, do we have a real loser? I mean, maybe yes. I mean, when it comes to the national title outlook, possibly. But I mean, we'll probably talk about this more later on. But man, I just kind of feel like that you could have just flip flopped these guys. If Michigan would have won, I would have just flip flopped them. Is all I would have done.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, in the AP poll, Ohio State stayed second. Michigan dropped two spots to fifth. The college playoff rankings come out later on Tuesday, and we'll kind of see where they go. Honestly, it's not this ranking that I'm interested in. It's what they do next week once you have the winner of Penn State and Wisconsin and they are the Big Ten champion, or if Washington and Clemson can take care of business. The fact that Ohio State and Michigan, neither of them are in the Big Ten title game now because of this Ohio State win, makes, you know, the choices for these four playoff teams extremely difficult for the committee. How much weight do you put on a conference championship? Would you put a two-loss Wisconsin team that completely got drubbed by Ohio State and Michigan and put them over if they win? Or do you put Penn State in, who beat Ohio State but couldn't beat Michigan, if they win next week? It's going to be really interesting. Or do you just keep Ohio State in there even though they'd even make it to their title game? We're going to have a lot of questions answered a week from now when everything is said and done. But I think this one kind of will go to form with, I believe, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Washington as your top four. But it's how much will they move up the Penn States, the Wisconsins, the Oklahomas, even if they go out and win their conference championships?
Exactly, and that's the thing, and putting Washington in there sounds awesome, and I think they definitely deserve it, but it just would not surprise me if the committee found a way to not make that happen, because we saw what happened to TCU, and you can't forget about that, and so That's what worries me for Washington, is they're not the sexy pick. Yeah, sure, they're amazing, they just win, that's all they can do. But here we are, and TCU did that, you know, not long ago, and they didn't make it. So it's going to be very interesting.
The lucky thing for Washington is they went out and just destroyed Washington State on Friday. I continue to watch this game, even though they jumped out to a 28-3 lead in the first quarter. It looked like they were in complete control. I just kept watching because I've watched a bit of the Cougars this year, and I know that they can just score points in bunches. And it just seemed like every time Washington State got any kind of momentum, they would get stopped at the goal line by the Huskies, and that would just be it. They win that game 45-17 to go to the Pac-12 title game against Colorado, who was able to hold off Utah. And the thing that, you know, helps Washington here is, you know, halfway through the season, we talked about how the Pac-12 was weak. And, you know, USC was down. Stanford's been struggling. Oregon's awful. And now you look at it, and Colorado's been that blessing team. They're 10-2. They're ranked 9th. USC's been one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in the country. They're up to 10th. Stanford's back up to 17th. So I think that definitely helps the strength of schedule for a Washington, so that if they do win the Pac-12 title game, they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely understand that too. And I think that's what's going to be most interesting about that, to see how this works out because of those teams that are right there who've kind of hopped back in the picture and who have kind of raised back up the rankings. And so I'm really looking forward to this, man. This is going to be very interesting discussions once we actually do know who is going to be ranked where and where the playoff is going to actually, you know, exist with who.
Yeah, just to kind of run through a couple of the other scores of these top teams that are playoff contenders that, you know, the games were never in doubt. Alabama took care of Auburn like we thought, 30-12. Even if they lose to Florida in the SEC championship game, I don't see any way you keep them out of the playoffs. They're in. Clemson took care of business against South Carolina, 56-7. Okay, Homer, calm down.
I know.
South Carolina fan is Homer. A couple of the other games here that play a smaller role, not playoff-wise, but as far as these big bowls go, is Western Michigan does finish off the job. They go undefeated. They beat Toledo 55-35. And Boise State goes and gets beat by Air Force, which basically solidifies Western Michigan as that highest-ranked non-five conference winner. So they are going to get one of those January Bun Bowls and get that spotlight that a lot of people believe they deserve. Did I lose Gary too?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
There you go.
I wanted to make sure we weren't going to have any more copyright issues with you hearing the Homer Simpson drop. Talking to my lawyers just to make sure we were okay. At the end of the day, I mean, Boise State losing that game against Air Force was a huge shock to me. I did not see that coming at all. I don't know about you, Randy. That was not on my radar. So that's something that kind of bums me out in a way, because I'm kind of a follower of Boise State. So, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see who Western Michigan gets in that January Bowl. I know a lot of people were claiming that they need to be in the playoffs, knock it off. They never beat anybody, but they're going to get their chance to state their case in a great bowl game, and you know that's I'm sure they're the most excited for. So we go from there. As I said last Wednesday, Iowa beat Nebraska. What I did not say was Iowa destroyed them 40-10. The Hawkeyes take care of Nebraska, who, you know, was that red hot team early on, but I never bought into, and you just see as they've kind of fallen off the map here in the last month or so.
Yeah, and how much of Nebraska could you buy into? You know, I kind of felt like they were a good team, but I never really felt like they were excellent. And really, this was not too much of a shocker. You know, I kind of always gave credit to Nebraska, said, you know, they should beat this team. But this was not a complete shock to me. I felt like Iowa definitely was in, you know, the realm of possibility of beating them. So, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of glad these games happen before we get too far, because I would hate to see Nebraska go to a bowl game that they get trounced pretty good against a team that they maybe should not have been matched up against.
Yeah, Wisconsin beats Minnesota 31-17. Penn State beats Michigan State 45-12. You know, that obviously sets up that big matchup in the Big Ten. Does one of them make the playoffs? We find out. USC beats up on Notre Dame so bad that Brian Kelly is looking at other options. He kind of wants out of Notre Dame. Like, this is a joke. The big battle of Florida, we called that one right. Florida State just had too much offense for Florida. They win that one 31-13. A couple of surprising games as Vanderbilt beats Tennessee. Tennessee, that team that a lot of people had as an SEC sleeper, who just has been a complete disappointment this season.
They've been a big disappointment, but at the same time, as we talked about earlier in the college football season, they were playing too many games too close to the vest. Yeah. Things that the games that they should have just went out and just to dominated their opponents. And sure, they were winning those games. You still had to keep them high in the rankings. You sure had to respect them. That led me to believe later on there would be a collapse, or there would be some situations where they would definitely underachieve. And this is a big proof of it right here. This game shows you exactly where Tennessee's at. They're really not at that echelon that we kind of gave them credit for.
And then finally, the other big surprise is Louisville just finishes their collapse, as you know, they come off the loss against Houston, which really just ended any playoff hopes, and you wondered how they were going to react. I mean, they are young kids, and they go out and they lose to Kentucky at home. Lamar Jackson losing his last two games here in his Heisman push. But how surprised were you that Kentucky was able to get the win here?
You know, honestly, I was a little surprised. And, you know, it was just because I don't see Kentucky as a team that, you know, is going to battle with the big boys. They sure do, you know, they're out there in the middle of the pack. You know what I'm saying? So I really didn't expect them to upset Louisville. Now, if you were to give me Louisville and a list of other teams, I would point to Louisville saying the team probably would lose. So I don't know. I just think that Louisville at this point has really just found themselves in a bad situation because they were doing so great this year. They were so red hot on fire. And then they met up with Clemson, and that was the story that they wanted to write, because that matchup was excellent, exciting. And then that's where that all fell apart. And so here we are now. And yeah, Lamar Jackson losing those two last games, it sucks for him. I feel bad. But, you know, I think we kind of, once again, like we talked about Tennessee, I think we found out who this team really is. They just ran out of gas.
And then just one other game that I want to bring up just for the hilarity of it. Pittsburgh and Syracuse played a game where the final score was 76-61. And I'm not talking college basketball. The highest scoring Division I game ever. Pittsburgh wins 76-61, and I thought I saw a stat where neither team scored that many points in their college basketball games that night or that weekend or whatever. It was something ridiculous. But just, you know, two teams. Pittsburgh's going to a bowl. Syracuse isn't. But that was about all they were playing for. But just 137 points. I wish I would have watched that game over some of the stuff that I watched this weekend.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Man, that after I saw that score, I thought to myself, okay, so was this game, they step back to pass, touchdown. They hand them the ball, touchdown. That's what it sounded like, so now I want to watch it. But sadly, I missed that opportunity. But watching the highlights, man, that must have been like a 10-minute highlight reel, because, geez, that's a lot of scoring.
Absolutely. So those are some of just the quick recaps. Obviously, just the two-man booth here. It's going to go a bit faster. But I want to get to a couple opinions from you here, Gary. And we're going to start. We're a week away. We have conference championships next week. We will talk about those more on the Friday podcast. But I just want it right now. Your week away predictions. Who are going to be the four teams that are going to be in the playoffs? I don't want your four right now. I want the four that are going to be there in the end.
You know, Alabama's the given. Yes. So we don't have to talk about them. Clemson is the second given. That's not even a discussion for me. I really feel like they're deserving. They prove it. So there you go. Ohio State is a big question mark, only because of the fact of, do they really give them this opportunity? Do they really, you know, without that, you know, championship game, is this going to be a big deal? And I kind of feel like that, you know, they will. I kind of feel like that no matter what, Ohio State's going to get that nod. They got it over TCU before, and they're going to get it now. And I think Washington is so deserving. So deserving. And you know what? As much as I just got through talking about all the reasons why this committee will not put them in, I don't think they're going to have much of a choice. I think Washington makes it to the Final Four.
It's tough to argue with your choices. Obviously, Alabama is the given. Clemson, I don't think Virginia Tech is going to be able to hang with them, so they win the ACC championship to me, so that puts them in. Washington, I think, again, the Pac-12 has been pretty underrated. They've been red hot lately. The way Jake Browning played on Friday, it just shows that, you know, his lull that he had against USC is over. He completely destroyed the Cougars. Now, their secondary is not that good. Colorado is a better team. But I think they take care of business enough where they are in. And to me, it just comes down to how much are they going to weigh in conference championships. And honestly, I think it's going to be too tough to keep Ohio State out. So I would have them four with the winner of the Big Ten title game over them only if it was a blowout. Like, if Penn State or Wisconsin went out and beat the other one by 30, then maybe you make a case, and it's a silly case to make at that point. Why does that matter how much they blew out the other team? But we're picking at straws here, and it's very difficult to pick. What I would love to see, and it's not going to happen, because obviously in bowl games, we like to see teams that don't usually play each other. But I would have no problem with putting Alabama, Clemson, Washington, and then the winner of Penn State, Wisconsin in the playoffs, and then just letting Ohio State and Michigan play in a bowl game.
Hey, you know what? I'm game. I would be so thrilled with that. I think round two for those two teams would be very exciting. Think about the ratings. Good God, the ratings would be so great for that game. And not only that, throwing in one of those other teams, Wisconsin or Penn State, inside that Final Four, that's exciting too, because this is the whole reason we want the playoff, right? We want those smaller teams that don't get a shot to be with the big boys to be a part of this whole process. And so, you know, I'm not saying Wisconsin's a small school or anything. I'm just saying they haven't been here in a little while. And Penn State, this is the Nittany Lions that, you know, they get close but no cookie. So get them in there. I love your thought process here, man. I would be game for sure.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. So I think we're on the same page here as far as who we think are going to make the playoffs. But who do you think we had two big hires here, and we're going to have a huge coaching carousel go over the next month or so. But the two big dominoes fell this week as Ed Orgeron is no longer the interim coach at LSU. He is there full time. And Tom Herman, after saying, nope, the rumors are not true, I'm staying at Houston, the next day, nope, the rumors were true, and he went to Texas. My question to you is, who is going to be more successful in their position?
That's a great question. And the reason it's a great question is because, you know, Texas has yet to establish a winning situation for themselves without Mack Brown. And Mack Brown's success was so long ago now that doesn't really matter. So, you know, I kind of think to myself, is really Herman just a sexy name? Is he really going to come in there and really be able to change this whole entire group of kids? Which, you know, let's be honest, Charlie Strong did get some better, you know, well-rounded kids involved. It wasn't all about athletics. He made sure they were academic too, but he was able to win with those young guys. Can Todd Herman, Herman come in here and take care of business and actually get those kids motivated? Same with that Orgeron. Is he going to actually motivate those kids in LSU? Is he going to be able to get them on track the way they need to be? Right now at this moment, I think the quicker turnaround, I think, for me is Orgeron. I just see it that they've already got that set of kids ready to go. I think that they've got a little bit of a head start on Texas. I think Texas is such a young team right now. It's going to take a minute before that team starts to really build up their, you know, progression and actually get to where they need to be. So I'm going to lean towards LSU being the one.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Orgeron obviously is already acclimated with that team. So, as you said, the turnaround will be a bit quicker. But honestly, I think Tom Herman long-term is going to be more successful. Obviously, you know, this has been his dream job. So I don't expect him to, like, leave Texas for greener pastures at any time. And same for Ed Orgeron. But I just think, you know, what Tom Herman has been able to do with Houston, if he can bring that to the next level. We saw the same thing, you know, with Washington, with Doug Peterson, who, you know, who was the Boise State coach. And we're like, what, the moment he takes that next big job, let's see if he's for real. And he's turned Washington around instantly. I think Tom Herman can do the same thing for the Longhorns. It might take an extra year or two. And obviously we have seen how small a patience that, you know, the Texas fans have. But I think if you give him 2-3 years, he's going to get that back into a national championship contender for many years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it'll be really interesting. And I'll say this, you know, with Texas, you're talking about a team that has really got a lot of boosters who have a lot of say, and they make a big deal about things. And I think maybe they got their choice. They did not really want Charlie Strong. That was more of an, you know, the administration kind of putting that into play. So, I mean, I think this will be more of a friendly situation for Herman compared to where Charlie Strong was not as welcome in town as I think what Herman will be. So,
yeah, it definitely makes sense. And one last opinion piece here that I need to get from you. You know, about a month ago, it just looked like it was clear-cut. Lamar Jackson's your Heisman winner. But he did lose his last two games. And no player has won the Heisman after losing their last two games of the season since, I want to say, 1987. And I think that was Desmond Howard. Can Lamar Jackson break that and still win the Heisman? Was his resume completely solid up until that point where nothing was going to derail him?
You know, I really believe so. And, you know, it was actually, you know, on this podcast where I said, oh, it's got to be him. He's got to win this Heisman. He's doing too much not to have earned it. And then we get to the end of the season, and we've seen where Louisville's turn has been. We've seen the limitations that now Lamar Jackson has encountered. I don't even, you know, think it's a possibility now. And it's sad to me because I think, you know, he did such a great job earlier in this season, and he definitely deserves consideration. I would not take the kid out of consideration. It just, to me, it's a little bit of a long shot now that, you know, the success did not follow along with what his, you know, career had.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult. Obviously, he's going to go from a runaway winner to, it's going to be a little bit closer. But it's just so tough. Nobody else has really jumped out as that guy that is going to challenge him. Like Deshaun Watson, excuse me, of Clemson, obviously had that great game against South Carolina, 6 touchdowns. I think if he can have a similar performance in the ACC title game, another 5-6 touchdown day in a route to win the conference championship, obviously I think he has the best chance to pass Jackson. But I just don't see it. But I think my three right now, if I do the top three, would be Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Baker Mayfield, who I think was my Heisman candidate coming in, who struggled early but has really turned the Sooners around. And if they can beat Oklahoma State, oh, I think you have to put him back in there. He's thrown 35 touchdown passes himself. So I think those are my top three.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've hit on a couple of guys right there that, you know, definitely have to be in that thought process. And I think, you know, I'm going to be right there with you with Watson. I feel like, you know, especially if he has a big game coming up here, this guy is definitely going to be one of the ones we're going to be sitting there waiting to see him stand up at that Heisman Trophy ceremony. And of course, you know, I don't want to take him out, but I just, in my personal opinion, I just think that Lamar Jackson, he just, I just kind of think that they're going to just put him down. I just don't think that they're going to really put him into play. And I think that Baker Mayfield has got a better shot. And that's why I'm going to agree with you. That'll be my second guy I'm going to put on my list here. It hurts me to say that because I'm not a big OU guy and I wasn't a believer in him, but he has really come a long way in this season. And the other guy that I want to throw in the conversation is Christian McCaffrey. I think that this guy has done an excellent job this year. And I think if they don't consider him, I think it's a big shame. Leonard Fournette is definitely a big name too, but I just think that McCaffrey and everything he's done, he's been more consistent as of late.
Yeah, McCaffrey and Fournette have just had rough seasons. Fournette, you know, getting banged up like he did. I don't think he's in there at all. A couple names I've seen around, you know, the wide receiver for Oklahoma, Dede Westbrook, who's having a ridiculous season. Almost 1,400 yards on 70 catches and 15 touchdowns. I know he's up there as well. It's just not quite enough to me for me to put him over those three quarterbacks. But that's going to do it for the college edition of the Football to the Max podcast. We will be back Friday morning to break down the actual college playoff rankings that will come out on Tuesday, as well as preview the exciting conference championship games as we are one step away from finding out who's going to be in the playoffs and get ready for the long, crazy bowl season where even Idaho will be in a bowl game this year.
Wow.
Exactly. So yeah. Get ready for all of our crazy breakdowns of the Idaho Potato Bowl and all of that in the near future. But until then, for Gary, I am Randy. I actually just got a message from Sean. He woke up, so he will be here for the NFL podcast in his normal role. So I'm excited for that. But Gary, thank you so much for being here for this and our kind of throw-together podcast.
Yeah. I'm glad we got through, you know, and we survived, Randy. So
and nothing has melted yet. So yes. That's wonderful. But until Friday, enjoy your guys' week, and we will talk to you then.